This morning we conclude the series on overcoming fear. We have looked at the Hebrew words for fear somewhere in this series quite some time back, a few messages ago. And this morning we want to conclude by looking at the Greek word for fear. And we haven't covered everything on fear, but there's so much of the Bible to cover. So we would conclude this series. It's a basic foundation that you could have to overcome fear in your life. The Hebrew has many Hebrew words for fear, but the Greek has only two main words for fear. And it's important that we understand the Greek definition of fear. For the in English, there's only one prime word called fear, F-E-A-R. Of course, there are related words like scared, afraid, and all these, but in the sense of the realm of fear, there's only one prime word, F-E-A-R. The Greek has two words for fear. And I'll give it to you first. One of them is the Greek word delia, D-E-I-L-I-A, delia. The other is the other Greek word for phobia, or phobos, P-H-O-B-O-S, and that's where we get the English word phobias from. Of course, there are different derivations of the Greek word. They use it for a word, they use it for a noun, and they use it for pronoun, they use it in every way to, but the same root word of delia and phobos. If you are a Greek scholar and you try to research into the word phobos, you would find quite a write-up about that. But if you try to research into the word delia, you find that there's almost nothing written about it. The best Greek word studies doesn't cover that word delia. Not even the, what's that series? Kitos, Greek New Testament theological words. But there is a relationship between those two words that we want to consider. We have been dealing with the spirit of fear last week, and we speak about how that spirit of fear comes into people's life and the progression of the spirit of fear. In the New Testament especially, if you study in fact the whole Bible, the word spirit of fear, there is no such thing as a spirit of fear or phobos in the same sense that we know it. See, phobos is an all-inclusive word. It includes the word afraid, and it's a positive word and it's a negative word. It talks about the fear of God and being afraid of God, being afraid of the authorities that God established, etc. All this in a positive manner. At the same time, the word phobos and phobia, which has also been used, has also been used in a negative sense, of being afraid, of being petrified with fear. And so it's an all-inclusive word. But the word delia is only used about four times in the Greek New Testament. One of those is in the book of Revelations, and twice is in the Gospel, and once is specially used in an incident that we are going to look at in 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. Now the word spirit of fear in 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, let's consider it, is not the normal Greek word for fear, which is phobos. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. There is no such thing, and you can never find in the whole New Testament, the spirit of phobos or phobia. There is no such thing. You can only find the spirit of delia, which is another specialized word for fear. And that's significant. It's something to look at. Why is it that when the most familiar word for fear, which is used many, many times, every time the word fear is used, it's normally the word phobos or phobia or phobiomai, some derivation of the word phobos.
why is it that when the apostle wrote to Timothy, that of all the usage of the word fear that is normally used, he should choose that Greek word dilia and call it a spirit? For God, in verse 7, 2 Timothy verse, chapter 1 verse 7, it says here, for God has not given us a spirit of dilia, of fear, but He has given us a spirit that is of power, of love, and of a sound mind. The word dilia has been translated by some modern translators as the word timidity. Timidity, a condition or an attribute of man. To be timid is an attribute, a negative attribute, that is, of a person, a characteristic of a human nature. And some translators have said here that God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of love, power, and a sound mind. It doesn't quite convey the full meaning. The best translation for dilia is still fear. It's still fear. But what the Bible is bringing forth is there is no such thing as a spirit of phobia. But there is such a thing as a spirit of dilia. Dilia is a very interesting word in itself. And what the Bible is telling us is that there are two stages of fear. Dilia and phobia, or phobos, are two stages of fear. The first stage, when it is in the spirit world and in the spirit realm, is dilia. And after a process of dilia, you enter into phobos, phobia, or phobiomai. By the time you enter into, shall we just to harmonize this, the word phobia, you have already passed the dilia stage. Are you all getting this? Right? There's a lot of dilia, phobia, and dilia is spelled D-E-I-L-I-A, phobos, P-H-O-B-O-S, and sometimes it's been transliterated as phobia. There are two stages of fear. The first is dilia. The second is phobos, or being phobiomai. Phobia or phobos is a condition, not a spirit. Dilia is a spirit that affects our soul. We are running out of English words to illustrate the word fear, but it's just like in our English usage, we talk about the word fear as a general or inclusive word. Fear could be a personality. We could say, fear came. Fear walked in. Or the spirit of fear, like our normal usage. Then we use the word terrified, scared, as descriptions of the result of fear. If a person is terrified or in great terror, then we will say that that person is in a condition because of fear. So let's just use two of the English words, the word fear and the word terror, or the word scared, afraid. The second word, terror or afraid, tells you that it's caused by something else. A person is in terror because there is a cause. And fear is normally used in a very large sense. We talk about the spirit of fear. In the Greek, the word phobos is more like the word terror, a condition. Phobos is a condition. A condition of being afraid, a condition of being petrified, paralyzed, subjugated, bounded, or every word you can think of, intimidated and obsessed, overcome by fear. It's a condition. But delia is more fluid. It is like the beginning of fear. And it's like something that begins first before you enter into phobos or phobia. Now, if you study the Bible, you would not always see the word delia mentioned. But the work of delia is always mentioned before the fear comes. There are two stages of fear in the New Testament. Stage 1 and stage 2. You cannot reach stage 2 before you reach stage 1. For example, for water vapor to turn into ice, it has to first turn into a liquid, whether for a period of time, or a long period of time, or a short period of time. Because it's a process of water vapor, H2O, which is always in the air, before it condenses in and turns into ice, it has to first enter the liquid stage. The liquid stage is a necessary part it enters into before it becomes a solid. So in the same way, as we enter into that solidified state of fear called phobos, there is a liquid state of fear called delia. And at the liquid stage of delia, which comes from the spirit of fear, and that's the water vapor side, that's where the spiritual realm is. It's caused from spirit realm. It can be caused naturally or spiritually, but we're talking here of the spirit of fear and its entrance. There is a spirit of fear outside. And before it comes into people's life, it reaches first the liquid stage, the delia. And as it persists in that stage and the temperature continues to drop and delia continues to increase in a person's life, soon delia becomes solidified and it becomes phobos or phobia. The key word to interpret delia is found in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 itself. It's the last word there, the last phrase, that says, God has not given us the spirit of delia, of fear, but He has given us the spirit of love, of power, and of a sound mind. A sound mind. See, delia deals with the mental aspects. Delia deals with a condition of the mind that is still liquid. Delia deals with the thought life. And we realize that when we accept a wrong thought, it becomes a part of us and becomes a habit. A thought that is continually dwelt upon becomes a part of our habit. It becomes a habitual pattern of thinking. A depressive thought need not lead to depression. But a depressive thought can lead to a condition where a person is depressed. Let's look at some examples here in the Bible. And as we look at that, we want to define delia in a certain way. All fear comes through hearing or wrong reasoning. Fear is acquired through wrong reasoning. Just as faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Can you say faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God? Then say fear comes by hearing and hearing by the word of the devil. There are two reasonings that we confront in this life. One is the reasoning of faith. The other is the reasoning of fear. For example, some of you parents who perhaps have grown up children who are young adults or late teens, supposing that they were late coming back home. They told you that they will be back home at 10 and by 11 they were still not home. A thought came to your mind at 10:15 p.m. and said, at first it was a positive thought. Maybe they were just held up. By 11, your positive thought has moved into neutral. It's, you know, possibly some unforeseen circumstances, but you, because you've been in the Word and you're in faith, you refuse to think the wrong thought. By 12 midnight, when you have no phone call, the devil has sent you a few darts by that time as presents. You have visions of kidnap, lost your way, or some accident, something. By 1 a.m., there was cold sweat on your hands. You were pacing up and down the house. Now, what is happening there? Your mind began to reason and give you reasons for the delay. If your mind is incapable of reasoning, you will not have cold sweat. If you are not a person who gives yourself to that kind of reasoning, or you have not read much or heard much about kidnapping, and you have not heard much or read much about the evil present, etc., then that doesn't come to you. Supposing you are so clean. You never know there was murders in the world. You never know all these things. You would not have all those reasoning. But being a part of the world system, you are exposed to all this, and so those reasonings come to you. Remember that all phobos comes from Delia, and Delia is in a liquid stage where there is a reasoning taking place. All fear comes from reasoning, a wrong reasoning. You can examine the fears in your life. Why is a person afraid of water? Because they reason that they will be drowned. Why is a person afraid of a roller coaster ride that goes into a certain position? Besides being a physical trauma to them, they reason that they will overturn and they will fall. There is a reason given to you to fear. Fear comes by a reason, by delia. There is a spirit of fear working. Why is it that when some people are afraid of traveling by plane, some are not? Because they reason to themselves of the percentage that something may go wrong with the plane and it will fall out of the sky. If they were not told all those things and they have not read much on those things, they will not be petrified by those fears. Why is it that some people after they learn driving never ever venture and drive out station? Because they reason it's very dangerous. There is always a reason. Now, need not be dangerous. You could drive at a slow speed and you'd be very safe and have defensive driving. But people reason themselves from delia into a phobia. Fear comes from a wrong reasoning. All your fears come from wrong reasoning. Now, sometimes we lose part of the reasoning when it has entered a deep stage of phobia, or phobos. An adult who as a child has a few bad experiences with water and swimming, where a few times they were pulled out with water, being pumped out of their stomach, after a few of those incidents, they can either choose two roads. They can either be afraid of water or they really want to overcome that in their life. But when they choose to become afraid of swimming and avoid swimming altogether, they have accepted the wrong reasoning that is dangerous. Now, I'm not saying that we completely get rid of all reasoning, because there is a certain level of reasoning that is reasonable. For example, you're out there swimming in the sea. It is reasonable to conclude that if the waves are about 5 feet high, that obviously it's not safe to swim. You couldn't handle the undercurrents that will be present. It is dangerous. We are not talking about completely getting all reasoning, we are talking about wrong reasoning. But supposing that it's calm, and it's safe, and moreover, they have put those new artificial blockages that prevent undercurrents. Today, immense technology, when they want to get the undercurrents in a place, they put hidden blocks along the shore to a certain distance so that the undercurrents cannot come in. And so it becomes very safe. Plus, they may, because of people's fear, put extra netting and prevent the sharks from coming in. But as you swim, usually because of people's fear, they say, don't go. Don't go too far. And you're just about 10 feet from the shore. The height of the seawater, about waist level. You drown. Some of you ever been to Tioman Island? You realize that the water is quite shallow for some distance. If you walk for 30, 40 feet in certain areas, and it'll just be that shallow. But the fact of the distance from the shore frightens people. You don't realize that over there, it's a very gradual incline. Most of the time, the seashore goes on a steep incline. Very fast, you get above your head. But it's very gradual. But just because of the distance, and people say, hey, I could hardly see you. It's very dangerous. Are there sharks out there? There are reasonings that cause fear in people's lives. When you read the papers and they say that for the past month there has been 3 spates of robberies in your area, straight away you reason it's very likely. You've just been fed new information to reason with. So there is a reasoning in fear that brings people into phobos and phobia. Let me show forth here in the book of Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25. And we see that man with the one talent. And in verse 25, when the Lord asked all the people to give an account of the talents that he has given them, the man with the one talent came to the Lord and said in Matthew 25, verse 25, and I was afraid. The word afraid here is the word phobos. I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Now here's the man and he said, I was afraid. I was in phobia. And I went and hid your talent in the ground. But you know what caused his phobia? Look at the previous verses. In verse, look at the verse 24. This is his reasoning. Lord, I knew you to be a hard man. Now all the other servants say he was not a hard man and think he was a good man. But his reasoning is his perception that you're a hard man. You reap where you have not sown, gather where you have not scattered seed. And these are all his reasoning. Because of his reasoning, he was afraid. He was afraid that the Lord would deal with him if he loses the talent, if he start dealing and exchanging and sowing the talent. He's so petrified by the fear of his master. How did the fear come about? It's because of his wrong reasoning. All the other servants didn't have that fear. So there's something wrong with the person's perception. Remember, when a person say a judgment or say a word, it doesn't reflect the person they judge. It also reflects them. When the judgment is right, it's a reflection of their stability and their fairness. When the judgment is wrong, it's a reflection of that person who judges. Remember, the person who judges get judged. That's what Jesus said. When a person gives a report, and 3 people give the report, or 4 people, and one of them differ from all the rest in such a way that it's obviously not true, it is a reflection of that one person. There's something wrong with this person. When all the rest are saying it's alright, at the same incident, and then you check it out for yourself. As you grow in life, you realize that every one of us has an inbuilt area of judging and discerning right and wrong. And the great mistakes that I ever made in my life was because I trusted the judgment of others. But ever since I got over the area, I said, Lord, whatever people say, if they say this is good, I will have to check it first. People say this is bad, I have to check it first. If people say this person is a good person, I cannot just take the word for it. Now, I will not go on the negative and say the person must be bad until proven good. I will always take the neutral thing. Thank you, I put that on the shelf. Let me find out. And a lot of people don't make their own discernments. They are influenced. Rather than make their own judgment. Sometimes a person says, this person is this way and that way and this way and that way. When you personally go, you check, you find that's not true. What happens? Becomes a reflection of the person who judges. Here this unfaithful servant, he was the one who had some problem, and there was phobia in his life. He was afraid. You trace it back to his reasoning. He had reasoned himself into fear. All fear comes from reasoning. The condition of fear, phobos, comes from the reasoning of fear, dilea. It's always that road to fear. There are two types of reasoning. One is a positive that reasons you into faith. The other is a negative which reasons you into fear. Do you know that faith reasons with you? When you present the gospel, or when you state to people, and just like in this month's newsletter, I write an article, Does God Exist? So I reason with an atheist. The article is for an atheist to read. Reason with an atheist to show that it's reasonable to believe in God, as they think it's reasonable not to believe in God. So we are reasoning them to show them the way of faith. Say, did the Bible do that? Look at the book of Acts chapter 18. See, it's what Paul say that we use the words of wisdom, not of the world, but of the Spirit of God. Acts chapter 18. Verse 4. And he reasoned in the synagogues. The word reason is from the word logismos, or sometimes from the word dialogismos. The word logis is where we get the English word logic. It talks about using the left side of our mind where we reason and we analyze line upon line, precept upon precept. And Paul reasoned with them in the synagogue. He showed them how it's rational, it's correct, it's perfectly sane to believe in Jesus as the Messiah. He reasoned in a synagogue. And in chapter 18, as we continue reading, says here in chapter 18, looking over here in verse 11, he teach the word of God. And that is after he reasoned. In verse 19, when he came to Ephesus and left them there, he himself entered the synagogue and he reasoned with the Jews. He logismos, he has a dialogismos and a logismos, a logical reasoning with them to show from the scriptures that Jesus was the Messiah. Chapter 19, verse 8. He went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning, the word sometimes is put disputing, is the word logismos, reasoning with them and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. It's just like the way we reason and we present the facts before you, how it's reasonable to believe in faith for healing. How it's not something mystical, but it's faith that people use, whether it's natural or it's spiritual. People need faith to live. Without faith, they cannot live. It's a matter of putting your faith in God, or putting your faith in your own perception or the words of what somebody else says. So there is a reasoning to bring people into faith. there is also a reasoning to bring people into fear. It works both ways. People can reason others into fear, logically, analytically presented. And that helps you when you minister to yourself in your own fears, or you minister to others. All fears come from Delia, a reasoning of fear. No matter how much you tell a person, don't be afraid, don't be afraid, don't be afraid, unless you could correct that reasoning that brought them into that condition, you cannot help them overcome that fear. Sometimes you have to actually be with them. It's just like if a person is afraid of water and for 40 years never go and learn to swim. Why? Because they are afraid. And so you may have to help the person overcome their reasoning. Say, come, it's safe, it's safe. Pull the person, get the person into waist deep water. See, it's safe. Get a person to relax and get him or her huge big float, lorry size. Hang on to it, see, it's safe. Until the person can overcome and begin to accept the reasoning that it's safe to be in waist deep water. See, they are afraid of water, all water. So you get them to be unafraid of waist deep water. Then you go deeper, deeper and say, alright, let go, just float. And slowly they begin to reason themselves back to overcome their natural fear. A person afraid of heights, why are they afraid? Because they reason they can fall down. Or when they're up there, the strong wind can blow them and they lose their balance and they will fall. If that is so, just hang on. Tie a string to yourself and tie it to the emergency staircase. You say the string will break. Funny reasoning. Get an iron chain. Not strong enough. Well, get it toughened. Extra tough and strong. Then have a good look until you overcome the entire fear. See, we reason. And people who are afraid will reason. You tell them, go up. And they say, see, there's nothing to be afraid. You can hold on to the bus. They say, yeah, but the bus will break. They reason and reason. They tell you one after the other. This will happen, that will happen, this will happen, that will happen. Until a person is paralyzed by fear. All fear has a reasoning, and they reason from Delia into Phobos. The reasoning into fear. We have shown that there are two types of reasoning. Now, looking over here, in the book of Romans, chapter 8, there is no such thing as a spirit of Phobos or phobia, but there is such a thing as a spirit of Delia. There is no such thing as a spirit of Phobos, but there is such a thing as a spirit of Dulia, which is bondage. The spirit of Dulia is a result of the spirit of Delia. Say, oh, Dulia, Delia, Walia. Romans 8. Romans 8. And we're looking here in verse 15. But you did not receive the spirit of bondage. The word bondage is from the Greek word doulos, which means servant. But here they have made it into a sort of noun, the word doulia, D-O-U-L-I-A. Normally the word servant is the word doulos, D-O-U-L-O-S. So here's the word doulia. Now here in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7, it says the spirit of Delia, D-E-I-L-I-A. Now it's the spirit of Dulia, D-O-U-L-I-A. The spirit of Dulia, we have not received the spirit of Dulia, bondage, which is translated bondage here, a bond servant, a bond slave. Again, to Phobos. And you see the relationship? There is a relationship between Dulia and Phobos, between Delia and Phobos. Let me put it again. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7 talks about the spirit of Delia. Now it's talking about the spirit of Dulia. There is a relationship between Dulia and Phobos. Now, I better give another scripture, Mark chapter 4. So you have a direct reference. Verse 40. When the disciples were in the boat with Jesus, and the waves were strong, the boat was being turned, tossed to and fro, the disciples were afraid. Why were they afraid? They reasoned that they were drowned. They reasoned that they were drowned in verse, looking over here, in verse 37. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling up. You see, faith has its own reasoning. Whenever you're on a plane and a plane is shaking, go to some turbulence, the unbelievers are reasoning the screws are coming loose. But the believer is reasoning the angels are holding up the plane. Same incident but different reasoning and brought different conditions. One fear, one faith. One trouble, one rest. So here in Mark chapter 4, verse 37, the boat was filling. And verse 38, Jesus was sleeping on a pillow. The disciples came to Jesus and said, "Master, Master, wake up! Wake up! We are drowning!" How did they know they were drowning? They are not in the water yet, they're in a boat. But their reasoning has concluded. Based on all our scientific observations, no boat in this condition of storm has ever survived. First of all, it's unreasonable to say that this boat will go to the shore with that much of water and volume. According to Archimedes' principle, the volume of water coming in at this rate will not sustain us enough, will not give us enough time until we reach the shore. It should come in at a slower rate, then we can reach the shore. And all their reasoning is saying they will drown, the boat will be destroyed. And they woke Jesus up and said, "Master, save us." Jesus came, rebuked the wind, and he said in verse 40, now this is an interesting word. This is one of the four times the word delia is used. Why are you so delia? Not for boss. Why are you so delia? How is it that you have no faith? Can you see that? Faith reasons. When the Bible talks about the spirit of faith, which is the word pistis, and the spirit of fear, it doesn't use the spirit of phobia, it uses the spirit of delia. The anonym of the word spirit of faith is the word spirit of delia. Spirit of delia. I know. So Jesus is talking, why not give yourself to faith instead you're giving yourself to delia? The wrong reasoning. I noticed in verse 41, when they saw everything in verse 41, they feared exceedingly. Verse 41 used the word phobos or phobiomai. The Greek word actually says, and they feared a great fear. They phobiomai a great phobos. It's a double usage of the word phobia in verse 41. What we are showing you in Mark chapter 4, verse 40 and 41, is that delia and phobia are related. Delia leads to phobia. And it could be an extreme case of phobia, where you see in verse 41, they feared a great fear. They phobiomai a phobos. That's an extreme case. There are people out there afraid of being afraid. Terrified of being terrified. And then you go deeper and deeper, terrified, being terrified and terrified. Terrified. So, delia is related to phobos. And just now in Romans 8, just now we give to you, the spirit of dulia is related to phobos. Therefore, if A equals to B and C equals to B, A equals to C, right? Now, here is where we realize, from that setup, dulia and delia are related. Because they both lead to phobos. They both lead to phobos. And they both are conditions that come in before phobos. the spirit of bondage and the spirit of fear in 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, which is the spirit of Delia, are both related. They are both the things that result from a wrong reasoning. A wrong reasoning brings you into a slave mentality. You become bound to that reasoning. It's called a slave mentality. Did you know that the Israelites came out from the promised land, but even though they were physically free, they still have a slave mentality? Every time they were in trouble, they said, "We want to go to Egypt." They were free from Egypt, but their mind were not free from Egypt. Their minds were not free from Egypt. Constantly, every time they had trouble, you look at it in the book of Numbers many times. When they first came out and they had no water to drink, they said, "Oh, why did we come out here to die? We should remain there in Egypt." Then when they don't have enough meat, when they don't have enough meat to eat because they got so much manna to eat, they say, "Oh, for the cucumbers, the garlics and the leeks in Egypt." And then when they confront the promised land and they saw the giants in the land, the reason they could not overcome because of what they saw, they said, "Let's get a leader and let him lead us back into Egypt." I'm not making this up. They said that. They said, "Let us get a leader and let's go back to Egypt." Some of you think, is that really true? Well, very quickly, for a few seconds, we just give you the book of Numbers. At the terrible stage that they reached, when they didn't want to enter the promised land, they reached a place where they say, in the book of Numbers, chapter 14, verse 4, Numbers 14, verse 4, "Let us select a leader and return to Egypt." The garlic, the leek, the thinking, the security that was there. They constantly go back to Egypt in their minds, even though their physical body was very near to the land of promise. A lot of Christians are that way. They are free in their physical bodies, but their minds have a wrong reasoning. When they confront a sickness or a circumstance, they always reason, "Therefore we will die in this sickness." They never reason the opposite way into faith and said, "You know, whatever happens, we know God is with us. God will see us through all these things. As long as He holds us by the right hand, though we walk through the shadow of the valley of death, we will fear no evil." That's a kind of reasoning, to reason yourself into faith. But they allow the reason into fear, the opposite. And that's what is happening here, that the bondage that comes from a wrong reasoning, which is the Delia, the spirit of bondage, which is the spirit of Dulia in Romans 8, 26, and the spirit of fear, which is the spirit of Delia, the Greek word D-E-I-L-I-A, Delia, is related. They both lead to bondage. The wrong reasoning leads you to a bondage and you're bound by fear. Now the word dulia is used extensively in the Bible in a negative way. Dulia. A few times it is used positively and talk about being bound to righteousness. But let me show you the few times it's negative. In Hebrews 2, verse 15. Hebrews 2, verse 15. Says here how it talks about Satan and how Jesus destroyed him, but this is his work all the time. Verse 15, "And release those who through fear of death," that is phobos, the word phobia,